Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
The brutal year for tech workers continues. More layoffs, this time at Microsoft's gaming unit. But what about startups? Will they face a mass extinction event this year? It's Thursday, January 25th. Welcome to the Tech Check Podcast. I'm Deirdre Bosa with Mark Gilbert. Hey, Mark.
Hello. Good morning, Dee. The latest layoffs, Microsoft is cutting 1,900 workers in its gaming unit. Post-closing its acquisition of Activision Blizzard, we have got layoffs this week, Dee, at eBay, Wayfair, thousands at European enterprise software company SAP that we didn't really talk about. I mean, and that's just sort of piles on to all the layoffs that we've seen so far this year.
This week, right? Yeah, that was this week alone.
At Google and Amazon.
Right. Waves at Google, as we talked about. There was a cut at Amazon. I mean, there's a list. If you go to this like layoff website that tracks them all, it's just been so brutal. Duolingo, Rent the Runway, eBay, but even outside of tech, right? BlackRock, Citigroup. It's just been a really rough start to 2024. So we've been kind of wondering, like, what does it mean for startups? Because those are the companies mostly that you hear about, but at startups, it kind of happens behind the scenes a little more. And kind of got an answer talking to someone this morning who says it's even worse. And some of those cuts have come out into the public, like Brex recently cutting a fifth of its workforce. Discord cut 17%. Remember too that Brex has been, you know, such a darling of tech, of Silicon Valley. So I sat down this morning with VC and founder Jack Abraham of Atomic. And, you know, he thinks, doesn't put this lightly, he thinks that 2024 is going to be the year of what he calls the mass extinction event for startups as cash dries up. Have a listen to what he said.
If you look at the data at the end of last year, so December timeframe, two-thirds of all of the startup companies had less than a year of runway left in the bank. That's really concerning. So during boom times, companies tend to raise debt. It's very easy to raise. Companies are now tapping into that debt. A lot of them are actually out of their equity capital. And all of a sudden, those debtors can come up and they can say, hey, we need to be paid back. And companies can get caught in a really tough spot. So this year, we're certainly going to see some sort of a mass extinction event as companies run out of capital. Sometimes that will involve wind down. Sometimes that'll almost put companies on what venture capitalists like to refer to as a zombie path, a zombie company, which is slim it down, don't take sort of the press hit from it.
I don't know what's worse, Mark, to be extinct or be a zombie. But those are not good scenarios.
Yeah, they're both not good words to describe what he sees as the future of startups in 2024.
So, you know, we discussed who's most vulnerable here. And he said interest rate sensitive sectors, of course, is something we've talked about a lot, is that these valuations are so dependent. Your discounted cash flow is dependent on what interest rates are. And that's why a lot of this, you know, a lot of this came to fruition. It's harder to get funding when your profits are further out in the future and cash is more attractive right now. So interest rate sensitive sectors, he called out like fintech and proptech that could be most at risk here. And of course, we had a discussion about the generative AI companies, which continues to be the exception, continues to raise money and hire as much as they want, especially as the public mega caps use their balance sheet to fund them. We'll talk about more of that in a moment.
Right. You know, there's this point that Matt Levine of Bloomberg, who's a columnist that you and I both read, but that he makes, which is that, you know, public equities are more responsive to daily valuation changes, right? You know, Microsoft stock is sold, you know, every day on a stock exchange, and you can, you know, things happen in the real world and they go up and down. There's another way, right, in which they're marking to market their employee base, which is that, you know, profitability becomes a focus, boom, immediately they start laying people off, you know, and that happens sort of very quickly. Startups, they're a little more like hidden, right? And so they sort of, you know, maybe didn't have that layoff period 1 to 2 years ago, but as the cash runs out, it might be this delay where, just like sometimes it takes a couple years for the valuation to get marked down, it might take a couple years for all of a sudden we see these layoffs in 2024.
And that's very well known in the Valley, that that private markets lag the public ones. So that was sort of his point, is that we're going to start to see sort of a lot of bankruptcies, a lot of companies go under, because public market companies took their medicine because they had to, because they operate in public. But there's also this idea that it's like kind of in everyone's interest to delay it, because if you think about the allocators, right, and they're deciding where to put money, their portfolios being marked down on a daily basis, the public part of their portfolio. What saves them in a way, especially for like crossover funds, is the private part.
They don't need to mark down the private. Yeah.
It's not going to mark it down, and maybe we'll wait for the market to come back. Right. And that's why you don't see a lot of down rounds, or that's why companies don't want to take down rounds and their investors don't want to take down rounds.
Like, I just love this idea, right? Because the sort of meme is, or the like conventional wisdom is that startups are more agile, right? It's like, oh, why do I want to go work at the behemoth at, you know, at Google or Amazon, you know, when I could go work for an agile 5-person startup? But it's like, well, in some ways they're agile, but in some ways, you know, public focused companies, publicly traded companies need to be, you know, need to be more
disciplined.
More disciplined.
And it's discipline. That's the word. And what was a chart that we really liked to show last year? We called it La La Land, right? And that was the idea that private companies don't take those valuation marks.
Yeah.
And it is funny. It is very ironic to think of. But then, to be fair, you think about some of the biggest private companies like a Stripe, like an Instacart, that do take their medicine, right? Either to raise money or to manage like emotions and temperament among their workforce, right? Know their valuation has gone down, but their options haven't changed. And they realize that they're not sitting on as much money as they were before. They do take those valuation down rounds because they know that they can raise money because they're more mature businesses. But yes, and that's something that Jack Abraham said, is that you're not going to see like the big names go bust. You're going to see it a layer down. And I think that's right.
The bigger, more sophisticated private companies sort of, you know, they've done so many rounds of funding and they've done so many of them, you know, they've given so much stock to employees that, though they're not publicly traded, they have a whole sort of ecosystem of privately traded stock that they need to manage now. And it becomes, you know, they're not publicly traded, but they do have like equity shareholder base that they need to think about.
Well, another sort of angle of this too is, to what lengths will some startups go to avoid that down round? Exactly. And this is something that some VCs like Jeff Richards of GGV has been really smart on, saying, you know, don't take that debt funding round because you're going to pay for it later. Yeah. And that may be just as unsustainable and bring things home to roost even quicker. But there's all these things you can do in the private markets to try and keep that valuation. And, you know, some smart people ask, you know, why we should take our licks and maybe investors, and we'll be able to raise money.
If we can't just sort of hide out for a couple of years. Yeah.
But, you know, I think what Abraham was saying is that a lot of companies raise money. They were very smart to raise money in 2021, the boom times for tech.
Yeah.
And there was just so much money out there and everyone was just racing. You had like Tiger Global and SoftBank pouring billions and billions of dollars into the private markets. They're starting to run out of runway. And something I talk to a lot of folks here about is maybe a little bit of surprise that it's lasted so long, right? But what Jack says, what others say, is that this is the year that it could come home to roost, and you will see what he calls a mass extinction event. But he wasn't all negative. He was actually quite positive, because he said that the mass layoffs we're seeing will eventually lead to more opportunity. He said all of a sudden you can hire and you can form super teams to build the next set of startups that are going to take us to the next boom. And he noted that so many Fortune 500 companies were started during discrete downturn periods of time, and this is important. Everyone says that, but this is important. He says the entire dynamic is around talent. And if you talk to the Ubers and the Airbnbs that came out of the last, what does he call it? Discrete downturn periods, they would say the same. They would say that they had so much opportunity and they had to bootstrap it. Well, Uber, you can't ever say bootstrapped it, but you know, at least at the very, very beginnings, it was about talent. It was about taking advantage of this moment when tech had been beaten down.
Totally. I mean, and I'm going to sort of make a large shift here, but speaking of super teams and AI talent, right, there's layoffs, there's companies cutting. The companies that are not doing layoffs, the companies that are hiring and raising money, is any sort of, generative AI startup.
And even that's getting out of hand. I asked Jack if there was a bubble for me, and he said, well, yeah, of course. And this is something we've talked about on Tech Check and done for our deep dive videos, the wrapper AI companies that are just getting so much funding because they have a generative AI proposition, but they don't necessarily own the technology.
Even the companies that are doing real, thoughtful work, it might be that they're sustainable business models, but do they need to be $100 billion companies?
Yes.
Or does NVIDIA just need to give them, $2 billion? And the only way for the math to work is for them to get valued
to be worth
billion.
More than, yeah,
yeah $2 billion. Exactly. Because it's impossible to give $2 billion to a company that's only worth, five.
Right. And in a way that also helps justify, helps justify the valuation. But, as we come up on this year and what many people are looking towards that I speak to, the commoditization of large language models,
right.
Are there only going to be a few that exist? And what do you do with the rest? But so speaking
I want to sneak in this last point, which is that today the FTC announced it is looking at these large deals. It's looking at these, these large AI investments and partnerships. And that's something that you talked to Jack Abraham of Atomic about. Let's listen to that soundbite and then we'll come back on the other side.
I saw a stat, I think it was about $19 billion of that venture capital that went into the AI sector came from the big companies. And the amazing thing that you're seeing, and these companies have figured this out, and they're very, very smart. They have all this cash on their balance sheet. It's not accreting to their market cap. What do they do with it? If they can give it out to a company and it bounces back to them in revenue and profit in their most important segments, which are the cloud, and make those grow faster, that is the way to get your market cap up. And now Microsoft was the first to discover that, and all the other companies are copying it, and it's very, very smart.
They're basically bankrolling their cloud businesses. Is there something wrong with that, though? Should regulators be concerned about that?
I don't know that they should. I mean, clearly it's powering a lot of innovation in the economy. We're partially getting this. AI is very expensive to train. I mean, some of these new models are going to take $1 billion or more to be able to train. That's not capital that venture capitalists can fork over. Yeah. So to get into this AI age, you actually might need some of these bigger companies pushing this along.
Mark, I want to make two quick points on the back of that. One is that Jack Abraham is so smart on these issues. He really summed up the whole virtuous cycle and relationship so well. And I think he's going to be, I'm hoping he'll be like a Tech Check regular. He was very good on this and on interest rates and inflation. So someone to look out for. And hopefully we'll hear more from. The second point is, what's so ironic? We've been digging into this topic for a while now. And our interest began when I saw Lina Khan here in San Francisco, and someone asked her if she would look into these deals. And I got the impression that she wasn't going to at all. And so we were like, let's look into it ourselves. And now it's not just her, it's the European regulators. These deals have raised red flags. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but they're complicated. And I have always thought that the regulators move very slowly. Case in point, no, they're moving pretty quickly. They're pretty nimble these days.
Yeah. And I thought even just the FTC announcement that they were looking at, the specific companies that they were looking at, OpenAI, Microsoft, Amazon, Alphabet, and Anthropic, sort of does get at the core issues. Sometimes you see like a congressional hearing about an issue, and you look at the sort of guest list and you're like, oh, wow, this is not at all the people who should be talking about this issue. It's clearly just sort of like the top Google results of tech CEOs. Whereas this was very focused, and it does make you think like, wow, it does seem like maybe they've got an angle here.
I'm very interested to see how this plays out and rolls out. And because these deals are, we've said that they're bankrolling essentially their own cloud businesses, but is there anything legally wrong with it? I have no idea.
Well,
go ahead.
He said that it's going to be, sort of like a mess. I've seen Bill Gurley, another VC, talk about this on social media, talk about how does this unwind? And I think that's a really interesting question, right? I'm trying to sort of think about it out loud, but if you're NVIDIA, right, and you've put $2 billion into this startup, and then they're coming back and spending a bulk of that money with you, do you really mind if they go under in the end? Or maybe do you mind if they have a down round? No, right? Because the point is not to ever make a return on your investment. It's to get the clients You know what I mean? Right. It's like to get
develop
clients. Yeah, the relationships.
The compute power and be seen on Wall Street as having access to the best large language model. And we talked about that in our deep dive, mega caps, mega deals, is that like their benefit is twofold. They get revenue coming in the door, right? Like a Microsoft gets Azure right. revenue from OpenAI. And then they also get an option on OpenAI itself.
That's,
if it goes on to be valued at higher, if it grows on to be the next $1 trillion company, great. Microsoft, well, to a certain point, right? Because profitability is capped at some point.
But
of that weird structure.
The OpenAI Microsoft is the interesting example, right? Because every client that OpenAI signs, every customer that OpenAI signs becomes a Microsoft customer. And so does Microsoft really care about its investment paying off? Obviously, if it becomes the next $1 trillion company, it will. But, you know, or does it just want those customers?
Well, here's a relevant question for the regulators. Do smaller startups care? Sure, if you're competing directly with OpenAI, you care that Microsoft is picking the winners and choosers. But if you're a generative AI startup that needs to lean on a very good large language model, you're like, thank you, Microsoft, for having billions and billions of dollars being able to put in to develop these large language models. Now we can use them. And I mean, so that's what I've heard from startups and founders that I've spoken to is they're like, we don't really care if they're picking the next winners and choosers because that helps us build our businesses on top of them. And venture capitalists, like Jack Abraham said, does not have the kind of capital or the compute power necessary to develop this technology. So, you know, they are okay with it. Well, actually, the venture capitalists may not be because they may not see the upside, but the startups themselves, the ecosystem that they support will benefit. And maybe some of the other companies that they will have the chance to invest in that don't need billions of dollars in compute power. But anyways, I we did this topic early on.
Yeah.
We'll do it again. So tomorrow though, we've got something special. Our weekly will drop and it's all about headsets. Two in particular. Yes. Can you guess which ones?
I mean, this is unfair. I worked on it. But yeah, it's the headset wars. It's the headset
we're
wars.
We're going to look at HoloLens and the Ray-Ban.
Google Glass.
Google Glass. No, we're looking obviously at the Vision Pro and Meta's Oculus. And this isn't like a product review. We really go into their strategies, which is something that we do with these deeply weekly deep dives. We look into like how Apple could win, how Meta could win, how neither could win, how both. So that'll be really good. Make sure you catch that and we'll put that on the pod tomorrow as well.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.